It's like I have a doubt, you know, about the does the really the attending to five khandhas or understanding five khandhas leads somewhere sometimes or all the time. But sometimes, you know, that's my question. I ask if this is the path.
So, is this or what is the path?
Now and realities, not concepts.
No. You ask whether this is the path or, and my question is, what is the path?
If this is not the path, what is?
Because you see that when we talk about the path, it seems like something that we have to walk or to go, right? The path to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Without citta at all, can there be path to go? Because citta arises and falls away in split seconds, depending on whether it's unwholesome citta or wholesome citta with or without understanding. So what leads citta to that path? Or can citta go to the path by itself?
Sanya and
vitakka.
See, what about the eightfold path?
It's the panya, samadhiti of the form.
Samadhiti is the path. And now, who has samadhiti? Or who begins to have samadhiti? Or no samadhiti at all? If there is no samadhiti, no path, no right path to go. So at moment of understanding, the understanding which is built up, developed, it would be the first of the Eightfold Path. Without it, the other which arises with that citta is not the path or the right path at all. So are we now not on the right path leading to the Eightfold Path? Or are in the wrong path, no understanding at all, and think that we are on the right path? So right path must be right understanding. Of what? Of a reality which appears now. Otherwise, how can it know or experience? If there is nothing to be known. But since now there are many things like seeing, thinking, hearing, so on.
Thinking, doubt. Can it be known when it appears? Because if it's the present moment, if it's doubt, there's doubt, then it's also a reality that can be known.
And what's the characteristic of doubt? Like, what's the function of doubt and characteristics?
Not sure.
Doubting if this is natural.
So is your question, what is the connection or relation between understanding of Dhammas and the Four Noble Truths?
Yeah, because in the Four Noble Truths...
The
First Noble Truth is the truth.
Of suffering and the Second Noble Truth.
Yeah, and that suffering is five khandhas. Hmm. So it's I think the First Noble Truth must be understood.
Why the five khandha is dukkha?
Because they are conditioned and they are upadana khandha and so on.
Each khandha cannot stay.
Oh, upadana khandha is dukkha.
And what about khandha which is not upadana? Is it not dukkha? Because dukkha here means the arising and falling away of all conditioned realities. Because usually one does not experience the arising and falling away of whatever appears now. That's why this is attachment and clinging to it so much. As I see, not knowing that actually which one is I, because seeing arises and falls away in split seconds. Which one is I? No, not at all. No I at all. And when you like something, you think that that is permanent. But when it just appears to be object of attachment, ignorance, and then never come back again, what is left? Ignorance and attachment to that which has gone completely. That is ignorance. So whatever reality which arises and falls away is dukkha. That's why all the five khandhas are dukkha. Dukkha in the sense of not permanent. The three tikka lakana, anicchang, dukkhang, anatta.
So can we say that the dukkha of the First Noble Truth is the character, the dukkha that is a characteristic,
the panya which can directly experience the arising and falling away of realities.
Otherwise dukkha cannot be known directly.
Otherwise you just think that it's dukkha because it does not stay. But now, is it dukkha? Even one hears a lot about it every day, but it does not appear as it is. That's why there is the attachment to it, somewhere and somehow. Like it's me or it's that, which we like it very much. So in order to understand just one word, dukkha, it is not suffering. And when it says that it's the five khandhas, why? Because all five khandhas are not permanent. And it just appears in split seconds. Think about that. In split seconds, not the same one. The old one has arisen, fallen away. The next one is the same all the time. And who can experience that? Buddha had experience, so he taught the others to understand the truth. The First Noble Truth is dukkha.
The First Noble Truth is dukkha because all the khandhas arise and fall away and may be clung to at any time for those who have not eradicated lobha. But it says in brief, panchupadana khandha. So here it's not just referring to any khandhas which are rising and falling away, but khandhas which are actually clung to at that moment. So it seems on the one hand we're saying all the khandhas are dukkha, but actually in the First Noble Truth
it's panya, which can experience directly the arising and falling away. That's why there are many stages of vipassanayana. See, and the experiencing of the arising and falling away is not the first vipassanayana. That's why only the first vipassanayana cannot eradicate defilement or the idea of self at all, because it's so very deeply rooted. Is it easy to just think about it and believe, just believe? Because many people have no idea about dukkha, which is the Four Noble Truths, one of the Four Noble Truths. They think by their own idea, life is suffering, something like that, not permanent. That's not enough.
You don't even appreciate even the moments of happiness, dukkha or suffering.
So what is the difference between this impermanence we see with our eyes that and our understanding in daily life? So for example, with this table, I know that it will get older, it will after many years will not be useful anymore for me. So this kind of impermanence everybody understands. And
if it does not arise and falls away, there could never be any change to be seen later.
Of course, but for a person that doesn't have this understanding,
they believe in other things.
it's still impermanence and it's still causing dukkha.
Certainly, no matter who knows it or not. Seeing sees, hearing hears, no one there. Seeing arises, otherwise there is no seeing. And it's completely gone away. Nobody can hold it. Whether one knows or not, Dhamma is Dhamma, Tadu is Tadu. Realities are realities. Dukkha is Dukkha. A person so very unhappy, that person has Dukkha, or does he understand anything about Dukkha? No, because it's he, not a reality which feels bad. So it doesn't mean that anyone who have a problem knows dukkha.
So it's not domanasa vedana.
Domanasa vedana arises and falls away in the sense that it's dukkha ariya satya, noble truth, just absolute truth.
So with domanasa vedana is
all
is dukkha
kind of feelings, dukkha, all conditions,
so
realities,
dukkha,
whatever arises. Is dukkha. Pleasant feeling is not permanent either.
We have another question from Japan, from Phil. You remember Phil from Gangrajan?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, he reads a quote from Survey of Paramatta Dhammas, and then he has a question. When we develop understanding, we should investigate the characteristics of realities as they are, according to the truth that the Buddha realized through his attainment of Buddhahood and that he taught to others. He taught the four applications of mindfulness. Mindfulness of citta, cittanupassana, satipatthana means that when there is, for instance, seeing, sati is mindful, non-forgetful of its characteristic. We should investigate, study, and apply our attention to the reality of seeing so that we shall gradually have more understanding of it. We can come to know it as the element that experiences what is appearing through the eyes. Question for Ajahn. Could you please say more about being non-forgetful of the characteristics of a Dhamma? I can understand non-forgetful of a name or a telephone number, but not non-forgetful of the fleeting characteristics of a Dhamma.
Is seeing now not self?
Correct.
Non-forgetful or forgetful?
When...
That's the answer.
That's it.
I'm sorry, what was the answer?
Please.
Sarah, what
so when seeing arises now, is it a reality, not self? Answer, yes. At that moment, non-forgetful, because there is remembering wisely what one has heard about seeing. If one doesn't know the answer or says, I'm not sure or I doubt about it, that is forgetful of the Dhamma one has.
And when there's not enough conditions to condition satipatthana, the direct awareness, even that moment is thinking. So it depends on what level of what you mean by being forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
With direct awareness or with just awareness of thinking. So it has to be panya, which is very skillful in pariyatti, to condition the moment of attending to a characteristic which appears directly with understanding. That is kayanupassana sipatthana, or vedananupassana sipatthana, or cittanupassana sipatthana, or dhamma upasana sipatthana. There must be a reality which appears as object of awareness, mm-hmm. right then, with understanding. So, forgetful or not forgetful right now? See, Panya can tell. It's not just thinking about being forgetful or not. That is doubt, not mm-hmm. right understanding.
And again, it depends on whether vitaka leads panya to attend to what is appearing now mm-hmm. or leads it away to thinking about the camera or mm-hmm. other topics.
That's why vitaka is also a path of the Eightfold Path too.
It feels question he mentioned that he not forgetful of names or telephone numbers because his sanya cetasika already remember
concept
and idea. Mm-hmm. But if this sthipadana arrives, it automatically remembers the reality.
Direct awareness.
And conversely, someone, you know, for example, like our friend in Bangkok, whose memory of concepts has gone a lot. One may, like I do, forget names a lot or telephone numbers, but still there can be the attending wisely to realities.
Mm. And then Panya can see the difference between just remembering concept and understanding reality.
Once I wrote to Nina about Ivan, that he cannot remember anything, but this concept that he cannot remember. But who knows that if he has...
No one knows at all. Just think all the time about this or that. Even right now, what Tathu appears, see? It is appearing.
So Wojtek, more awareness in the city or here or any difference? Any difference between the city with all the noises and distractions or sitting by the lake?
I still think sitting by the lakes, but I don't know.
Still about karma and vipaka, just that's one karma conditions patisandhi, just one karma.
It also collects all other.
Okay. Exactly. So there are more karmas, but just one is janaka, I think, that can actually condition the rising of patisandhi, just one. But there are also so many karmas that contribute to the
patisandhi.
To patisandhi. And to bhavanga as well?
Certainly, the same citta.
Thanks.
And when we talk about how karma needs pakatu upanisya pachya as well to bring its result, this is what is meant by the accumulated karma, for that one karma to be of that strength to bring the result. Is that correct? So is being by the lake better than being in the city because we like it better by the lake, we have more attachment to the peace and quiet, or because it's better for
developing understanding?
Maybe both. There are, I mean, if we went to center of a city and try to do this discussion maybe on the city bus, we would not be able to understand. Here, maybe even you are able to hear, but still, there are so many distractions. You just cannot cope with this. Maybe you can hear, but your brain is just not able to take it in and understand.
How come all the distraction?
Through the senses.
At your will. At your will, or no. By conditions.
By conditions.
Can it be understood?
Yes, it can be understood, but it's not understood now.
Can there be the understanding of Pachya before understanding the nature of reality as it is?
Pachya means condition.
Well, I don't know that.
For example, right now, there is seeing. And when there is no understanding of the nature of seeing as it is, can there be the understanding of the conditions for its arising?
No, you have to understand nature first.
Mm-hmm. So the first vipassana jhana is the experiencing realities as they are naturally by conditions. No doubt about who should be here or there.
The first vipassana jnana means the first stage of insight. So before there can be any enlightenment, there have to be stages of insight. And before the first stage of insight, there has to be the clear understanding of namas, those dharmas that it can experience an object, and rupas, those dharmas that cannot experience any object. So seeing is nama, and visible object is rupa. Just different dharmas that are in the matter.
I had a question on rupas as well. As I've read, there are 8 inseparable rupas. So, 4 principal rupas and 4 derived rupas. And the question I have is, if I look at 4 derived rupas, for example, color and odor, so this means that I can see something and I can smell something through my senses, and this both senses connect to the same object of those 8 rupas or not.
There are 8, not 1, right? There are 8 rupas,
yes.
Not one, not one, but 8 rupas.
Okay.
Inseparable, indivisible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, at moment of touching, why or how can tangible appear? Only when citta experiences it.
Mm-hmm.
When there is the body sense, kaya prasatha rupa. The table doesn't have kaya prasatha rupa, no citta to know that it's touched. So at moment of touching, through the kaya prasatha, the body sense, can visible object be the object? even is there. Even it's there, inseparable with the other four primary rupas. But at moment of touching, only tangible object appears, heat or cold, hard or soft. Can the visible object appear at moment of touching?
It does not appear, but it's there.
Right.
What appears at moment of touching? What does it need for the body feeling to arise? Body consciousness.
And
see,
cold and so
even a visible object is there, order is there, it cannot appear because it cannot impinge on the kaya prasada, the body sense. Like now, only visible object appears. While there are the four primary rupas and other derived rupa, but only one there can impinge on the eye base, and it can condition citta to see it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, even that cannot appear as one tattoo which is there.
Okay, thank you.
Without this, can satipatthana arise? To know, to understand reality as it is?
Without this.
Without understanding.
No.
See? So it's not just object to talk or to speak to anyone who does not have any understanding of whatever appears now.
So what we take for being table or the tree are actually the many groups of these indivisible rupas arising, falling away. But it just depends whether the conditions to experience any rupa at any time, but only one rupa can ever be experienced at a time. So through body sense, colour can never be experienced. Through seeing, hardness can never be experienced.
But doesn't that mean that later the citta connects this?
Right, so there are many, many different experiences. So there are moments of seeing visible objects, there are moments of touching hardness, there are moments of hearing sound, and in between there's lots of thinking and lots of sanya marking and remembering all these different experiences. So yes, all the dots are connected, and then there's the thinking about idea of table, but there's only thinking of the idea of table because there have been so many different experiences through sense doors of hardness, colour, different objects appearing.
So
we're getting closer and closer to what is directly experienced, what can be directly known, because usually we're just lost in that dream that thinking thinks about people sitting around in the table, but actually it's just a moment of hearing sound, a moment of touching hardness, and then all these long fantasies and ideas about people sitting around a table eating cough sweets and so on.
Manasikara.
Manasikara, attending wisely or unwisely.